Morning, everyone. Kia ora omou. Sanbonani. How are you all doing? So this morning we want to continue with Colossians chapter 3. Now we get to chapter 3 and we're starting to get to some of the practical areas. And so this morning we're going to look at maturity, connecting to maturity. If you have questions, if you're sitting there this morning, we've done it before. Remember we did it last year. You can SMS the questions in. We'll get it on the computer. Okay, and then we will try to answer those at the end of this message today. We also pray for folk as well. So we're going to get practical over the next couple of weeks. And this morning we come to this topic of connecting for maturity because God is looking for a mature bride in the earth. So let's pray together. Lord, we just pray right now your blessing upon your word. Need your anointing so much. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3 together. We're going to read from verse 1. To verse 17, I'm preaching to you about being connected for maturity. God is looking for you and I to mature in Christ and for a mature body in the earth for his son. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is wanting stuff, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, or gossip, and obscene talk, dirty talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so this morning I want to talk to you about connecting to Christ for maturity. Connecting for maturity. God is looking for a mature people in the earth today. He's looking for a people that are maturing. And I just want to encourage us as a congregation. I've been here 13 years in January, and it's been just such a blessing for me as a pastor to see the way this congregation has matured and the way people within this congregation have been maturing and growing in Christ. It's just been such a blessing because the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, if Jesus is Lord, how should we be living to glorify him? We said last week and over the last few weeks that philosophy and being religious and the super spirituality, trying to access God through angels and through spiritual, all these religious practices, they don't work and they don't make us mature and they don't help us to live a holy life. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, how can I grow in Christian maturity? Because God is looking for a mature people. God is looking for the church to mature. Paul is writing that in Colossians. It's like a sub-theme through the New Testament. He's looking for maturity. This word, teleos, which means a mature person or a mature man in the earth. Jesus is coming back for a mature bride. And so as a Christian, God is wanting us to move, as I told you a few weeks ago, from nappies. Remember that? God's wanting us to move from nappies to wearing short pants, to wearing long pants. He's wanting us to mature as Christians in our Christian walk, not to stay in one place, but to keep maturing and to keep growing in the Christian life. And so I need to be giving attention as a Christian to how I'm living as a Christian in South Africa, how I'm living as a father, as a husband, as a citizen of the state, as a leader in my personal life and in my speech. And our vision in this church as well is to raise the next generation unto maturity, because we believe the hope for our nation is in the Christians. That's the hope for the nation. It's Christians being salt and light in society, in the workplace, in the schools, in the university, being salt and light. That's how a nation changes. We just make sure that more people are getting saved than people that are being born. And we just want to see the kingdom of God come as Christians take their place in society. And so there's a desire in us to mature as Christians. I remember as a teenager, when people asked you, how old are you? And you're a teenager, you said, I'm almost 18. Or I'm almost 21. Or I'm almost 13. There was a desire in you. You remember those days? There was a desire. Now when you get to the other end, you try and pretend you're younger. Okay, but there's a desire for maturity. It's a natural thing. And in the church, we need to ask God to help us to mature. God is looking for maturity. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, just have a look there together with me. Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes and he says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, Colossians 1:28, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Everyone, every person mature in Christ. Paul is wanting the whole congregation, the whole congregations that he ministered in, to become mature in Christ. My prayer for this church, and we are maturing. I think in Pietermaritzburg, we're a more mature congregation, a multicultural congregation. My prayer for us is that we would mature in Christ, growing up unto Him who is the head, bringing glory to God through the way we live in the earth today. Africa has more people being saved than any other continent. But we have to ask God to help our Christianity to change the nation as well, to change the society as salt and light. That is what we need, and that is what Paul is writing about here. So I ask you this morning, how do we mature as Christians? Because there's a lot of confusion. People are not sure how to do this. And people say, well, do we go back to the law? Do we use the Old Testament? Is it through the preaching of the law that we really are sanctified, we mature? Or if we're under grace, do we even need to bother about this? Because we're perfect already in Christ. What's all this talk about maturity? I'm already perfect in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so there's confusion. And we need to come to the Scriptures. And we need to ask the Lord to help us. Lord Jesus, help us that we may be a congregation and a people that are maturing in Christ. I read this article in The Witness this last month of October by a Muslim, Qasim Muhammad Jassat. And he said this. Listen to me carefully. Whether through conversion, reversion, or new birth, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the West. This is a worrying factor to many zealous Christians. To state that Islam has lost its way in recent times is an understatement. In fact, many millions of people have seen the resurgence of Islam as the way forward, listen carefully, in a world where sin is the order of the day. And people are looking at society today, and people are looking at corruption, looking at these things, and say, how can we stop this? How can we change this? I think we need Islam, where if you steal, you get your hands chopped off. If you commit adultery, you get stoned. We need to bring the law back. And we are seeing these things in the world today. We're seeing a rise of fundamentalism because people are seeing these things as a need. And I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, we don't need Islam. We don't need to go back to the law. We need to live mature Christian lives, affecting the society in which we live. Hallelujah. Changing the world around us. But it's not easy to live a holy life. It's not easy to live a mature Christian life. So how do we do this? How do we do this? It's not easy. In my own life, there's been struggles to say, Lord, I want to mature. I want to grow. I want to become more and more like you. So I want to give you a few points this morning. And I hope it's practical, can really help us. Firstly, there are things that we need to know. It always begins with that. The Bible never starts with behavior. The Bible never starts with application. It always starts with doctrine. Always the first few chapters of every letter in the New Testament is about what Jesus has done for us. So we start, first of all, by remembering what Jesus has done for us. Shout out to me, what has Jesus done for us? Come on, what is Jesus? He saved us. What else has he done? We've been forgiven. Come on, there's been healing. He's given us eternal life, abundant life. We've experienced his grace. We've been born again. I've been regenerated. Jesus has done all these things for us. I have been justified before God. It changes my position forever before God. Hallelujah. I've been reconciled to God. And I've also been changed on the inside. I've been born again. And so I've been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And I'm constantly being renewed by the Spirit of God. And so it's not just my position that has changed, but Jesus is working on my condition. We are being changed from one degree of glory to the next by the Spirit of God. God has done all these things for us. I've been delivered from the penalty of sin as a Christian. I'm being delivered from the power of sin as a Christian. And one day I will be delivered from the presence of sin completely as a Christian. We have also been joined to Christ as Christians. We have been linked to Christ together. Gary showed us this a few weeks ago, that I'm now joined to Christ, just like a marriage. As I'm joined together with my wife, I'm joined to Jesus. I'm joined to him. And the life that flows from Jesus flows into my life. The things that have happened to Jesus have happened to me. And these are the things that the Bible tells us today, that we are joined with Christ. We have been regenerated. We have been justified. These wonderful truths. And I'm now full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon me at conversion. And through the baptism of the Spirit, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm now in Christ's realm under the power of the Holy Spirit. I used to be in Adam. I used to be in Adam, my old self. I used to be there. I'm now in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. I do not live here anymore as a Christian. I've been delivered out of this realm completely. I'm now living here in Christ. I'm living here. I'm connected to Jesus. I can never go back there again. I live my life here. If I sin, I sin here. If I do well, I do well here. I'm now connected to Jesus. I'm in Christ. And I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I have been transferred from this kingdom to this kingdom. I've been transferred from this realm to this realm. I'm now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6 verse 14 that therefore sin will not have dominion over me anymore, because I don't live here anymore. I'm living over here in a whole new realm. I'm living here. And these are the truths that we need to know as Christians, that I am connected to Jesus and I'm connected to his resurrection power. It's part of the renewing of my mind. It's part of understanding what Jesus has done for me. Because listen carefully, a mind that's set on God will not be a mind that's in constant struggle. And that's what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are here on the earth. And so here's the secret, brothers and sisters. When it comes to maturity, when it comes to growing in holiness, a lot of it depends on what goes on in my thinking. It goes on in my mind, being renewed in my mind, being renewed in knowledge. Just have a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." And so, this whole thing of renewing of our minds is so important for us as Christians, that I'm constantly having my mind renewed by the Spirit of God. that I'm constantly having my mind renewed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And most of my problems in my Christian life happen when I'm not renewing my mind. Most of the problems in my Christian life, when thoughts come in, fears, unbelief, uncertainty, doubts, these things, and I'm not living, renewing my mind by the Word of God. I'm learning this myself at the moment in a big way. Our minds need to be renewed. That's how we grow in maturity. It's through the renewing of our minds, sitting under the Word and letting God change our thinking all the time. And so these are the things that we need to know. We need to know what God has done for us. And we start with that I'm now in Christ. Secondly, there are Bible terms that we need to know about. Okay, and I just want to run through them quickly, because this is also part of the renewing of the mind. First of all, my old self, the old person I was in Adam, he or she died at one time. It's not a process. Paul says here in Colossians 3 verse 3, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I'm not the person I used to be. That person has died in Christ. Secondly, sinful nature. I do not have a sinful nature. I have a new nature. As a Christian, I used to use the NIV Bible for years. I loved it until the ESV came out. And I've said this to you before, the NIV Bible is not helpful, because the NIV Bible talks about you still having a sinful nature. We do not have sinful natures as Christians. Get rid of your NIV Bible. Try and get an ESV Bible. It's that important. Seriously, it's that important, because if you're thinking, I have a new nature and a sinful nature, you're going to be confused. We do not have a sinful nature. Turn to the person next to you and say, I don't have a sinful nature. You don't have a sinful nature. You have a new nature. It's part of the renewing of your mind. My sinful nature was crucified and cut out. There was a circumcision of the Spirit, and the sinful nature that used to control my life has been crucified. I do not have a sinful nature as a Christian. I have a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone be in Christ, how does it end? He's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And that new nature is being renewed day by day according to the image of Jesus. Body of sin, Romans 6, verse 6, there it is there, means the rule of sin was broken in my body when I died with Christ, so that I may no longer be enslaved to sin. The body of sin, this body that was ruled by sin, has that rule, that power has been broken because of what happened in my life through Jesus Christ. And it's been stripped of its power as I wait one day for the total redemption of my body. Okay, my body is not sinful, but my body is not yet redeemed. I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. Romans 8, verse 23. And this is where sin attacks me. Sin attacks me through my body. Okay. Where it turns the natural desires of the body into lusts if you let it. So it's a natural thing to be hungry. If I let sin attack me in that area, I become greedy and I eat everything I see. There's a need for love. That's a natural thing God has made us. But if I let sin get hold of it, it'll turn into lust. And so I have to watch these areas of my life. But our bodies are not sinful, but we're still waiting for the redemption of our bodies. But sin is not dead, but we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin. And finally, my flesh and my body is that part of me that is still on the earth and has not yet been redeemed, even though I am saved. So my body is still on the earth, and through my body is where sin tries to get a foothold in my life. So we need to understand these things together. We need to understand these terms: old self, sinful nature, body of sin. We need to understand these things. And we need to understand these things in our battle against sin. It's so important. C.J. Mahaney, in his little book, he says this: Scripture reveals that the most serious hindrance to growth is sin against God. The recovery movement, or the modern psychology movement, therapeutic movement, says that unmet needs, pain, damaged emotions or a low self-esteem is the root of our difficulties. But pain is not our root problem. Sin is our root problem. It's not the things that have happened to you by others. It's the things that you have done against God. And it's sin in our lives. And so we need to take this stuff seriously, brothers and sisters, and we need to know these Bible terms. Okay, has that been helpful to you? It's part of the renewing of your mind. Okay. Secondly, I can grow as a Christian and live a mature life if I take serious action against sin. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's look there together. Verse 5 says this, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." But let me just say this. If you want to grow in holiness, if you want to grow in maturity, we need to take drastic action in our lives. We cannot say, well, we're under grace, Craig, you know, it actually doesn't really matter. It does matter. Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you. Put to death because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs here. So you need to put it to death. You need to put it to death. You need to put it off. You need to take it off like old clothes. And we need to take drastic action in our lives. It's so important. I must close the gap between what I was and what I'm becoming in Christ. It's so important we see this. Because you can be secure in your position as a Christian and in bondage in your experience. And you can struggle with stuff. I have in my life with stuff. I'm totally secure in Christ, but I've had struggles on a daily basis. Struggling with stuff, struggling with temptation, struggling with stuff. Temptation creates tension in your life as a Christian. And so we need to know, how do I get rid of this stuff? How do I grow out of this stuff as a Christian? And so I need to be prepared to take drastic action. Drastic action. Shannon and I, we found in our lives, here's a time for confession. Let me confess some things to you. We found in our lives that when we had kids in our home especially, we were watching too much TV. We got addicted to watching TV. And we just watched hours and hours of TV every week. And it just didn't help us. We weren't praying enough. We weren't reading the Bible enough. And some of the, as you watch more and more TV, you realize some of the programs are quite sexual. They weren't helping me as a male. And we just started talking about, well, what are we going to do? We have to take drastic action. Because this thing is getting on top of us. What do we do? So he said, okay, what are we going to do from Monday to Friday? We're going to lock our TV in our cupboard. Now, I'm not saying you've all got to do this. It was our problem. And we spoke about it. So we locked it in the cupboard. Then we'd come home on a Wednesday night and say, you know, we've remembered there's a good program on tonight. Let's just take it out just for this program. Then we'll put it away again. And then we forget to put it away, and it was there Thursday, and then we slipped up. Okay, let's do that again. And eventually we realized we just weren't getting this thing right. We have to get rid of our TV. It took me 2 years to get rid of my TV because the SABC didn't believe I don't have a TV. And they kept serving me summons and letters of warning, and eventually I went to the police station. I got an affidavit to say I do not have a TV. They couldn't believe there's a South African without a TV. You don't have a TV? No, we don't have a TV. You have one in your bedroom? No, we don't have one in our bedroom. In your lounge? No, we don't have a TV. And it just helped us so much because we found it was an area that was robbing us of the life of God. We have to take drastic action on some of these things. It's so important. Number one, we have to kill it, to put it to death. Kill it. Whatever's earthly in you, kill it. Put it to death. It will rob the life of God in your life. It will sap spiritual strength from you. You will not be an overcomer because these things will come in and rob you of the life of God. Secondly, you need to remember what you were like before you were saved. You need to remember, and Paul says that. If you look here at verse 7, he says there, in these you two once walked when you used to be living in them. Now, I'm not saying we've got to focus on what we were like before we were saved. You know, when some people give their testimonies, they have this long story about what a big sinner they were, and they don't say much about Jesus. We're not saying that. But what I am saying is, be aware of the weaknesses that are in your life from what you were before. And maybe God's delivered you of all of them, but just keep an eye on the areas that you are prone to sin in. in your personality, in your speech, in the things you watch, in your circumstances. It's very, very important. What idols are at work in your life? Because remember, we said in Jonah, there's sin on the surface, and there's an idol sometimes underneath the surface. And we need to look at this. So you need to be aware of this. How do you know what idols are at work in your life? Tim Keller's written an excellent book on counterfeit gods. You shall have no other gods before me, no other idols before me. And they are finding in postmodern culture that people don't even know what sin is anymore, but people do know about idols. People do know, hang on, these are the areas that are important to me. So you have to ask yourself some questions as a Christian. I'm going to give you four or five questions. One, what do you daydream about? When your mind is just in neutral, where does your mind go if you're not renewing your mind? Does it go to sex? Does it go to money? What does it go to? What happens in your thinking? Secondly, what do you spend your money on? It's another way to discern your heart and your true love is to look at where your money goes. Your motivation. What are you really living for? And number four, your emotions. Look at your idols at the bottom of your emotions. When you're getting angry, when you're getting ticked off, you need to ask yourself, why am I getting so upset about these things? What is going on in my life? And then we need to replace these idols with Jesus. We need to bring him in to those areas of our lives. So we need to be aware of some of the stuff that was going on here. And in my current walk with the Lord, where am I weak? Where does the enemy get in? And I need to watch those areas, but for the glory of God. And then thirdly, there are things in my life that I need to put off, and there are things I need to put on. And so the Bible tells us that. It says that we need to put off certain things because they don't belong to us anymore. We need to put them off. We need to take them off in our Christian lives. And there they are. We need to put off sexual immorality. That is, all sex outside of marriage must be put off. Remember when we did the marriage and the sex series last year, we said there's good sex and there's bad sex. All sex in marriage is good sex. You can have as much of it as you like. It's unlimited. All sex outside of marriage is bad sex. All sex outside of marriage is bad sex. We must not be sexually immoral. Impurity. We must put off dirty talk, dirty jokes, deeds and thoughts. Put those off. This first group are often in the sexual area. You'll find when Paul groups sin in the Bible, he often groups it in two groups. And the first is often private sin, and it's often sexual. And the second group is public sin or social sin. I'll come to in a minute. And there are two groups. I'm talking about the first group, the private group. We need to put off sexual immorality, impurity, lust, uncontrolled passion, and desire for sex. We're living in a sex-crazed society. Evil desires. It's for things that God says no to. We mustn't desire those things. Covetousness. It's to keep on getting stuff, money and possessions. You know, when I walked into the mall, I went to Monte Cassino last, and you come into the mall, and the music's playing, and the shops, and you walk around. After a while, you feel, I need to buy something. What I need to buy? So I generally buy myself a chocolate because I love chocolates and it's quite cheap. But you just feel, oh, that's a nice shirt. You know, oh, and you know, you go into the shops and the music's playing and you just buy, 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 buy. It's just geared to make you buy. And then you come to pick and pay and you've got your bread and your milk and you're standing at the till and there's Tempos and peppermint crisps and all these little sweets and you just quick throw a few in your trolley. You go out. It's just wanting stuff all the time. And then idolatry, it's the things we worship and trust in the place of God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that we have got to take this stuff off because it belongs to my old self. It belongs to my old self. These things, we must take them off. We must put off, and these are social sins. They involve your attitudes and your tongue. We must put off anger, quick tempers, wrath, which is a slow-burning anger, malice, evil intent to hurt others. Do Christians do this? Yes, Christians do this. Slander, gossiping to destroy others, and dirty talk, Put it off. Put it off. It doesn't belong to you. I must put these things on. So these things, I must keep putting them off. I must get rid of them if they're part of my life. And I must go to Jesus, and I must keep putting on the things and clothe myself with Christ, with humility and kindness, compassion, meekness, patience, love, and peace, forgiveness, thankfulness. I must clothe myself with these things. I have a responsibility as a Christian to take off the bad stuff, put on Christ's stuff. It's so important I do that. If I don't do this, I won't grow into maturity. And so there are private sins we have to watch. It's what you do when you're on your own. And there are public sins that can destroy a community or a fellowship. And those are those things there: anger, wrath, malice, slander, dirty talk. As a pastor, it's often easier to deal with the first group than the second group. You know that. There's two groups. And we have to watch both of them. We have to ask God, help me, Lord, to live for your glory by putting these things off and putting on Christ. I'll come to that in a minute. If you notice this here, let me give you a revelation, which is something I've discovered recently and something I'm working on. Most of these things involve your tongue. Just turn with me to James chapter 3. Now listen carefully. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to control his whole body. That's the key. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships. Though they are so large, they're driven by strong winds, they are guided by very small rudders wherever the will of the pirate directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed and is tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God. For the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield only fresh water. Let me give you a secret here. And it's something I'm discovering after 30 years as a Christian. And it's an area I've got to work on. If you want to be perfect, if you want to mature, watch your tongue. If you can get your tongue under control, you will control every other area of your life. If you can get your tongue under control, you will control every other area of your life. The key to maturity is the control of your tongue. You may not know that. James says the way not to sin is to avoid temptation, and the way to avoid temptation is tongue control. It is the secret to living a perfect life. So let me give you a few points. Cleansing your tongue is the fastest way to grow spiritually. Tongue control makes you holy, and lack of tongue control makes you lose control. Think of your marriage. Secondly, whoever controls his tongue or her tongue controls the direction of their life. That's why he uses the example about a horse or a ship. It's about direction. If you can control your tongue, you will find your whole direction of your life is in control. And thirdly, sin has a route to perfection. In James 1, it tells us that. And the end, it talks about temptation. If temptation is fully grown, it gives birth to sin. And sin gives birth to death. So temptation, sin, death. Faith has a perfect route as well. And the perfect route to perfection in the Christian life is never saying anything to offend other people. Because your tongue reveals your heart. And so we need to be consistent with our words. We must put off We must put off fearful words, complaining words, bitter words, careless words, unbelieving words, harsh words, and insulting words. And we must put on forgiving words, well-timed words, gentle words, encouraging words, faith-filled words. You can do it. I believe in you. Restoring words and testimonies about what God is doing. So one way you can control your tongue is you never speak and then you're in control. But we're not talking about never speaking. But the route to self-control, the route to maturity, and maybe we've not seen it enough, is to have control of your tongue. R.T. Kendall says in his excellent commentary, he says, the way to avoid sin, you don't pray about it, you do it. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray in that order. The way to avoid sin is to avoid temptation. And the way to avoid temptation is to have a prior commitment to tongue control. There are those who are what they are right now because of years of the ability or the inability to control the tongue. What makes a person like they are? It's years of tongue control. What makes a person balanced or odd? It goes back to the ability to control words. What makes a person popular or unpopular is that other people can recall what they said. The months and years of tongue control shape your personality. Once you speak without thinking, you lose control. It is the tongue that largely determines your whole emotional stability. Proverbs puts it like this: he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. And so in all these things we've spoken about, we need to keep an eye on our tongues. And we need to ask God to help us. And I'm praying that for myself as well. Lord, help me in my speech to have control of my tongue. Because it's the quickest way to Christian maturity. And part of that is putting on these other things as well we've mentioned. Compassion and kindness and meekness and patience. Forgiving one another, loving one another. These are the things we must work on. And finally, there are things we need to also put in. So it's not just put off, not just put on, but put into our lives. And that is the peace of Christ. Thankfulness. Just be thankful. Just be thankful. You need to put in the Word of God into your life if you're going to mature and you're going to grow. The Word of God needs to be put in. Worship. Spiritual songs. It's there in Colossians chapter 3. Worship and spiritual songs. That means we're worshiping and we're also singing in the Spirit. I love it when we sing in the Spirit. It's a way to grow in maturity. Being in fellowship. Being in the church. You cannot mature on your own. You cannot get holy on your own. That's why when you get married, suddenly you increase in holiness. Hallelujah. You just have a spurt of growth because you can never become holy on your own. And finally, to live by the Spirit. To live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, as I draw to a close, because we want to pray for folk, Paul is saying to us in Colossians, because of what Jesus has done, he's looking for Christian maturity. He's saying to the Colossians, come on, Colossians. I want everyone to be mature in Christ. I want everyone to be mature in Christ. And you need to know what Jesus has done for you. That's where it starts. You need to know what these key Bible words mean. And you need to know that we have a responsibility to put off the things that belong to my old nature. I put them off. And to put on the things that belong to Christ. Hallelujah. Above all, I watch my tongue. Because tongue control is going to be a guide to how I'm maturing in the Christian life. Hallelujah. And I put in the Word of God. I make sure I'm part of worship. I make sure I'm part of a local church. I make sure I'm singing spiritual songs. I make sure I'm walking in the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a condition with a promise. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not do these things. The power of the Holy Spirit in me is stronger than the pull of sin and the pull of my flesh. I can live a victorious Christian life. I can mature in Christ. I can be victory over all the things that used to pull me down when I was here, to the glory of God. I can do those things. And Paul is writing, and Paul is saying, put off, put on, put in. Walk in this way. Set your mind on things above and live in the presence of God. And God will be glorified. And you will grow from one degree of glory to another. And you will mature as a Christian. And you will bring glory to God in a world that's desperately looking for the real thing. desperately looking for the real thing. And we have the answer as we walk in this way. And that is my prayer for myself, and that is my prayer for us as a congregation. Let's stand together as we pray.